CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's recording, so yeah, we're ready.
Woo!
Let's do this. Yeah. Are you stoked about Creed 3, Rudy? Creed 3? Yeah.
He creeds.
Okay, cool. We'll do
dies. Spoiler, he dies.
Michael B. Jordan?
Yeah, he dies.
Shut up, really?
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, all right. Okay, here.
I thought you meant in Creed 1. I was like, isn't he in Creed 2? 3? How many are there?
This is the third one.
Yeah, it's the third one. I started watching the second one last night.
Dad died.
Apollo?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, right, in Rocky. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Okay, listen.
Okay.
Guys, I am King Killmonger. Red light, green light. No, I'm just kidding. Chad gave me this. Chad was just on the show. He gave me this samurai sword. It's a Kendrick Lamar verse, April.
Sorry,
please be hip. Yeah, please.
Wow.
It goes like, I'll even say it's the best thing because we're going to do some red light, green light here. There's a part in that song, he goes,
Red light, green light, fast cars.
Fast money. Fuck your family, fuck your friends, fuck your culture, fuck your everything, fuck you. Okay.
Somebody take that away from
us. Okay. I have this samurai sword. I'm placing it down. Wait, maybe I should place it not in the frame. Welcome, producer April.
Hello.
It's been a second.
It has.
April.
Since our last mob talk.
Yes. We had a mafia talk about Guillermo del Toro and Ana Lily Amirpour. I hope all parties are okay.
Yeah, still waiting on some responses, but
we're still waiting on you guys.
It's interesting stuff.
Don Guillermo, refer to the last episode and please hit us up. Blake, how are you today?
Good. Yeah.
I mean,
today's been good.
Yeah, we've been rocking and rolling all day. The mics have been hot.
A lot of movie talk around the studio.
Chad Cuervo was here, who was in Debbie and the Devil, our film. Emmanuel, if you could slide a Blu-ray graphic just across.
Yeah.
Oh, I do? Oh, sweet.
Debbie and the Devil.
Aww. And listen.
Blake anticipating.
Yeah, in the spirit of shameless show business and whatnot, we are going to talk about something very popular just so we can advertise our film, hitching our names to that popular thing.
What is it, Nas?
The Last of Us.
Now, how does The Last of Us and Debbie relate?
Well, they're both in the horror world using genres.
Interesting.
To explore, and in seriousness, I'll put the sword down, to explore human realities and humanness. Now, Blake hasn't seen The Last of Us, no?
Yeah, tell me about it. Because okay. I think I do now have HBO.
So are you going to watch it?
I've heard that, like, good reviews.
It's great.
Yeah.
Well, listen, are we doing are we doing spoilers?
I don't care.
Yeah. Blake doesn't care. Yeah. Well, I will say this. So
what is it about, though?
Yeah.
Many years ago, a video game came out, The Last of Us. Many people said, you should play this game, you should play this game. And I would say, friends, I don't care. And then another game came out, and then friends said, you should play this game, you should play this game. And I said, I still don't care. Then the show came out, and I watched it. I care because it's content that moves and I don't have to press buttons or anything. Blake, The Last of Us is a zombie show. April, I think you are the best person to sum it up.
Better than Walking Dead?
Yeah. It is completely different. The Walking Dead I really liked, actually, but this is an HBO show, so it's way more cinematic. But it's pretty much, it follows Pedro Pascal. So he's, you know, this, spoiler. All right. So he loses his daughter the first episode.
Okay.
So then he goes on this journey during the zombie apocalypse. And him along with everybody else are just trying to survive. Along the way, he meets a young girl named Ellie. And they link up. And I was telling Nazi the other day, it's a little bit similar to Mandalorian. If you ever saw that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I only mention this because The Mandalorian also has Pedro Pascal in it. And so the similarities there are Pedro Pascal plays a man who's on a mission to take some precious cargo somewhere and protect it. And so it's very similar to that, which I think is kind of a funny, unique comparison.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, there's only 7 episodes so far. So we'll see where it goes. But every
only
episode...
on season one.
On season one, there's 7 episodes, and like I don't know much.
How long? Like 42 minutes, 50 minutes?
Some of them go long.
They're like an hour.
Yeah.
I honestly don't keep track, but they're so good. They're so cinematic, and every episode is just very different. Like, they have their own storylines. You meet new characters. You fall in love with them. You know, shit goes down. It's a great show. I really like it. Yeah.
There's one of the things that I liked, kind of getting into spoilers. This last episode was pretty devastating emotionally. Like, I watched the first season of Walking Dead, and I'm just bad at watching fucking TV shows because I just have TV ADD. I just don't pay attention that much.
Yeah.
And Walking Dead was fine.
But you know what? I think the big difference is The Walking Dead really felt like a zombie show. I wouldn't even call this a zombie show because...
It's more of like an apocalypse
It's more apocalyptic, but... And yes, they're kind of zombie-like, but they're people who die by a fungus epidemic that takes over their bodies.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, like where something takes over their bodies and the people inside die and become this other entity that's like basically like a zombie, but...
That sounds more realistic.
Yeah. There's this thing, I saw it once in a nature thing, and they kind of touch on it in the show. Mm-hmm. But like there's this parasite, right?
Yeah.
That goes into like a snail, and then it like makes their eyeball all crazy.
Oh, right. That's because they mentioned that in the first episode, right?
Yeah.
And it's based on reality.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's more like, it's like if The Walking Dead was more realistic. And you're right. Like, I don't really consider it a zombie thing at all. It's more, I guess, an infected film.
Yeah.
They're not really technically zombies, I don't think. They're fungled.
They don't call them zombies.
They'll call them clickers or something, or like weird little names like that. But what is the name of that kid in it?
Ellie?
Mm-hmm. Ellie. Ellie is really great.
I love Ellie.
Yeah. Ellie is awesome. Hey,
I believe
Ellie,
they're like good. Non-binary, and they play a queer, kid, orphan, meets, Pedro Pascal's character, Joel.
Yeah.
So I love Joel.
I have to say, one of the episodes, this last episode, the episode that really got me, where I was like, okay, I'm in it emotionally, was, and this is full spoilers. Sorry, Blake.
I don't care.
Three.
Yeah.
Where there's Pedro's character meets a dude, and this dude has a younger brother, and the younger brother's a cute kid,
Oh, no, that's four.
That's four?
Yeah. Three is the one with Nick Offerman. And the guy from The
White Lotus. That one was all right, too. That was good. That was cool. That was fun.
Cool.
No, but I have to say.
Very cinematic, though. The end of episode 3 was so... I heard the music and I was like, this song, I've heard it before. Do you recognize the song from the end of episode 3? It was the same song that you hear at the end of Arrival. Arrival?
With the
Amy,
Amy Adams.
Yeah.
Amy Adams. Yeah. I remember that movie. I remember.
I've seen that movie.
It's, you know, it's like about like kind of like aliens landing, but they're like advanced civilizations. Yeah. So they come to planet Earth, and this woman played by Amy Adams mm-hmm. is like,
yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Oh, they see.
I'm just trying to remember like
the end.
Yeah.
It's like this beautiful song, but it's called "On the Nature of Daylight" by like Max Richter, and it's just like one of the most heartbreaking, beautiful songs I've ever heard. Oh. But I was like, what? I've heard this. It was just so funny, like a little. But these movies, I'm sorry, this show is just so cinematic, and I'm always catching little, like, influences in the show. I'm like, oh, this feels like Jurassic Park. Like,
right,
I think it was, like, episode 1 or 2.
Mm.
The episode with the clickers.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they're called?
They're like the blind zombies or whatever.
And so they make a noise.
Yeah.
Like bats. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
In Quiet Place?
Like for instance.
I haven't seen it, but I guess. Yeah,
yeah. But I mean, I can... If I close my eyes and I go, I can see you. You know what I mean? That's the science of it. You guys are
like echolocation touching.
Yeah. But that felt very much like a Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Scene.
Yeah.
Where do they film it?
What, the show?
Yeah.
Where do they film it?
I think Georgia.
Really?
Is it Georgia?
One of those weird ass southern places.
That's where they
filmed
The Walking Dead. But maybe.
That's like a Bloods and Crips situation waiting to happen between film crews.
I mean, right? But no, Walking Dead's over anyway.
Yeah, sorry. So you were saying.
No. But no, it's very cinematic. I saw a lot of the influences like Jurassic Park. It also feels like Aliens a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, the James Cameron movies.
Yeah.
It's like this woman, you know, basically the comparison is you have these two adults who have lost their children. And now they have a second chance at saving another child.
Yeah.
It feels very inspired by that. So, like, I like the influences.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very amazing films. Like, if you're going to steal from anybody, James Cameron and fucking Spielberg.
Yeah.
You know.
And to piggyback on that, the last episode, and by the way, this episode that we're doing right now, it's probably going to come out a little later. So, by now, maybe the whole show has done its run. But up until now, we only have 7 episodes that we've seen.
That's true.
Know? Yeah. And those are all the episodes that are out right now. But speaking of influence and stuff,
mm-hmm.
the show really did touch my geeky cinematic heart in this last episode.
Mm-hmm.
By setting it all in a mall, a la Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just...
And they made a reference to... I think there's like a poster that says like... Dawn of something.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
I think I saw something.
Oh, wow. Interesting. But I might go back and
there's
look.
There's a lot of little, like, you know.
Yeah. And then, honestly, Blake, I have never seen something. I have seen stuff that touch on young love and loss.
So cute.
Good.
So good.
But not like this. My poor Ellie. I'm so sorry, kid.
I know.
So I'll say, Blake.
She dies?
No, it's worse.
I really like the way that they set that episode up, though.
Yeah.
They bookend it with, like, this very short scene, right? I'm like, I don't want to spoil it for everybody out there, but we're already talking spoilers.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it for Blake.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so someone she's with is close to dying, and then they cut back to this flashback, and the whole episode is the flashback that takes place in this mall. And it's cool because, like, I was watching the... you know, like after the show, they have like the talk with the director and the writer.
Yeah.
They're saying like, what would it look like to skip school to play hooky during like apocalypse or whatever?
Right.
And they go to the mall, but it's like an abandoned mall. But all the lights are like beautifully lit up, and you know they're playing what's the game? They're playing on the
Galaga.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. And like
Mortal
Ellie, she's like a fan of the game. But has never played it because it's apocalypse. So there's like posters of it on her wall and stuff in her room. But like, so they're playing the games and it's like, it's so cute. And you know, this character Ellie is witnessing these like 5 wonders of the mall. And they're things that she's never experienced because she grew up during the apocalypse. She doesn't know life before the apocalypse. So she sees like these amazing things like the Ferris wheel or the whatever they call that, the little
merry-go-round
with the horses. And the photo booth and like all these cute little things and
Halloween store.
The Halloween store. And she's just like amazed by it.
Yeah.
But it's so heartfelt, such a cute, it's well written. I love
And then the funny thing is, okay, I have a question. This might
illustrate HBO.
Who owns HBO?
Or is it just HBO?
Oh, man, dude. That's a long conversation.
Let me explain something to you. Let me tell you something, Blake.
I think because I had to, like, my second job this morning. That's why I was, like, late.
Yeah.
I deliver sweet greens to, like, businesses.
Yeah. Wait, what's sweet greens?
Oh, it's a great restaurant. It's, like... Wait, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a restaurant. Yeah, right. Sweet greens.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like...
Like tender greens?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I delivered it to businesses, mm-hmm. and I delivered to Fox Studios.
Oh, okay.
And I was wondering, because I think I've seen, like, The Last of Us, like, advertised at Fox.
Oh, really?
So I wasn't sure if they own HBO.
A lot of times they'll film at other studios, and then they'll put the posters up because they film there. Because, like, Fox, ABC, like, they all have their own lots. Well, actually, ABC... Disney does not have lots where you can film at, but, like, Universal... Actually, does Universal? Yeah, Universal does.
Yeah.
Fox has lots. Anybody can rent and film. Sony has some.
Okay.
We have lots that you can rent out. Just hit us up if you want to, you know, like, small, shoot something. But, we're pretty small, but we're doing our best, you know.
Right in the other room.
Also, photo space, you know, if you need anything, hit us up. We're hustling, you know. Got to make that shkrilla, you know. Blake, also in answer to your question... There are no owners of these companies. They are not like Wild 7, special like us, where the owners own the company. They're all employees. Do you understand?
Well, I can look it up.
Yes. Well, as April is looking it up, I will say, they are all under a corporate umbrella, you see? So they'll install one jag-off to a company. I'm not talking about HBO.
Oh, Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers. Right. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, Warner. Yes. Owner, Warner Bros. And Discovery.
Oh, well, I knew that because all the DC shit is on HBO. And so I was like... But the thing is that there's no person. Yeah, like, there's no, like, man that just owns it, right?
I mean, I'm sure they're public by now.
Right, right.
Probably owned by many people. I don't know.
I tried to pump some guys for information on Warner Brothers on something that we did, and they were just... Fuck it.
They have strict NDAs, you know?
Yeah, man. I'm like, bro, we have a friend, DA. I met you. We're friends, you know? And they wouldn't say anything, anything about the Flash situation.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Yeah. So that's The Last of Us. Now, is it as beautiful and artistically compelling and heartfelt and real and a portrait of just beauty as that Debbie is, that we crafted? No.
Not even close.
It doesn't happen that way. This is a once-in-a-generation film.
Yeah.
We are once-in-generation talents. Yeah. From Blake to April to me to Silent Chris to Ashley to everybody. Everybody. The whole Nightshade.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Once-in-a-generation. So if you like The Last of Us, check out Debbie and the Devil on various streaming platforms and Tubi, most of all. And if you want this nice, hardcore copy of a Blu-ray... just go to our website, order it, and we will send it your way. If you want us to sign it, send a special request. We'll work something out.
We'll work something out.
We'll work something out. We'll be very flattered. And speaking of Debbie and all of that stuff, April, I think it's about time we should read some good reviews and stroke our egos a little bit because we've worked really hard on this film. And
I agree.
I printed it out big because I, you know, so I can read it. Yeah, cool. Okay. How we'll do this is... Wait, should we just for fun... Here, wait. Let me just play this real fast.
Okay.
Before we begin, let me do the ritual.
Okay.
To get us in the mood to...
There's
a ritual.
Okay.
There's a ritual. Just it's the Debbie and the Devil ritual.
I thought you were going to go to the bathroom.
No.
Ritual?
No. Okay. That's me before that's the show. I do that 50 ritual. Times. I 10-1. I have the bladder of a peanut.
Like, no.
Yeah. Okay. So the ritual is when we get good vibes from Debbie, we play the chants, the Debbie chant... And I'll just sort of close my eyes and get in the zone. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
आने वाले थे आज केविन का घर पूरे दिन के लिए खाली था सभी लड़के एक धंधे वाले को बुलाने का फैसला करते हैं जो उनसे पैसे लेकर उनके जिस्म की भूख मिटा सके मगर इन लोगों के पास थोड़े से पैसे कम पड़ रहे थे जिसके बाद ये जूली नाम की
of an Indian woman that took Debbie and the Devil she took clips of it and then she put it into a exactly 8-minute video. I'm pretty impressed by that for some reason. But like exactly 8 minutes, her recounting the film, but then not even recounting the whole film, just recounting one.
Is it like Gore Garage?
It's Gore Garage.
How funny.
And then the funniest thing is, Then another dude went and did the same thing.
With the same movie?
With the same, like, clips. But he just, wait, his, like, disappeared or something. It's weird.
She probably sued him.
Oh, wait. Hold up. Yeah, yeah.
That is
She's like, I stole that first.
I really want to know what they're saying.
Yeah, same. Oh, so, dude, listen.
Somebody can translate.
I got it.
Hit us up.
I got it. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to play this real fast.
What's this?
Hey, everybody. What's up?
Ah, fuck.
Gem, which I did not know this movie existed.
This.
It came out a year ago. It's called Debbie and the Devil. And this was a really, really fun horror comedy.
Thank you, Movie Assassin. That's from a podcast called The Movie Assassin. He reviewed Debbie. He put the review up on YouTube. And I heard this. And just, you know,
Slash anthology movie. And let me tell you something. This is a good example of how you do a good comedy horror for this era, man. I mean...
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Let me just skip ahead real fast. Yeah. Let's see what he gave Debbie. Hold on.
You know, existed. So Debbie the Devil, hey, check out Tubi TV. It's for free, so...
Oh, wait. Sorry.
Got that right.
Yeah. Hold up.
Unknown modern horror movies that we cannot even...
You know what's funny? Before the show, April told me, did you pull any clips? And I said, no, I printed everything out, and I didn't think I was going to play this. I should have pulled the clips. But he gave the movie a 10 out of 10 out of 10. Okay? Thank you, Movie Assassin.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. If you search Debbie and the Devil on YouTube, you can find that review, and you can find the Indian video where a woman narrated the film in Indian. Yeah. And April, I just want to say... You're so proud of Debbie, right?
No, I'm just kidding.
Right?
Of course. Yeah.
Right.
No, I mean, like, it's such a great, rewarding thing to hear other people say such nice things about our movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And for it to be discovered on a place like Tubi.
Yeah.
Because I think that's where most people have discovered the movie.
Yeah.
The people that don't know us.
Yeah.
So I love that. And shout out Tubi because thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Chad Cuervo was just in here and he was talking about Skinamarink, which is a film I'm keen on seeing, and you are as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Ashley too. I am so happy because one of these reviews, the reviewer liked our movie better than Skinamarink. I just like that.
That's
my ego. And
I just have to say it's a funny thing because like at least once a week, Nas will come in and he'll say, "Hey, we have another review today."
Yes.
And then we're like, "Oh shit, like how did you even find that?" And Nas does a thing called vanity searching.
I do it all the time.
And he just searches Debbie and the Devil reviews or whatever. And it's just funny. Yeah.
If I'm watching a movie, I give it my undivided attention. If I'm watching TV, I just scroll through my phone or I just search for things of Debbie or I search for things of me.
You don't
me.
Give TV the respect it deserves.
No, I don't.
What about The Last of Us?
TV, forget that bitch. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Last of Us is good. I'll be honest with you, though. TV never comes close to cinema, dog. Right? I'm speaking your language, right?
But The Last of Us,
it's different.
It's different.
HBO TV and cinemas are different. They come close, though.
They do. They
HBO
do.
Shows
and respect
come really
to
close.
Respect to HBO Go. And wait, is that still a thing?
HBO Max.
Right. And Zavlan, you're doing a great job. Zavlan is the guy that owns HBO now, or he runs Discovery Warner Brothers, and he's the one that's responsible for, making all those cuts and making sure Batwoman doesn't come out. And so, and you're Zavlan. Don't let these pussies tell you what's up. You're running the company. You get what I'm saying? Don't fucking listen to them. You want to cancel a film? Cancel a film. Who cares at this point? Who cares about anything? Everybody's dying. You know what I mean? Okay, cool. All right, Zavlan, you're doing a great job. So let's start reading some reviews.
Yay.
Okay. I'm going to start with a review, and I'm going to give you a little lesson. Let me just chug some water here. Hold on.
Same.
Yummy. Okay. When you make an independent film, the first round of reviews you'll get are from your friends, family, and people that worked on it, you know? And so in the spirit of honesty, I'm going to read one of those first.
Yeah.
But this is from Jesse Heisel, who's a friend of the show. He's done the show when we talked about The Whale.
But we can preface it by saying Jesse is an honest film reviewer. So even though he's your friend or whatever, he'll still be honest.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And also Jesse is a big time horror fan. Like you'd be hard pressed other than us around here to find a bigger horror fan than Jesse. So this is his review. It was left on Letterboxd. I will read it, okay? I don't care how many times I watch this movie, hearing the devil call Jesus Christ Samurai a fuckface will always make me laugh. This is a funny, twisted horror comedy anthology with a lot of blood. I loved how all of the three stories connected. Whether it be the same character in more than one short, or characters referencing characters from other shorts, the connections help the movie flow and feel like a fully fleshed out story. That was a challenge of the film, mm-hmm. wouldn't you say? You know,
yeah.
just telling one story within these smaller stories.
Them
at,
yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Jesse, so far so good. You're doing great. The connections help the movie flow and feel like a fully fleshed out story. The gore and death scenes are great. Shout out to Robert Bravo.
Yep.
Yes, thank you. And April is a big proponent of practical effects. Yes, yes. Yep. There's just about every kind of death scene you could want. Now, if you're particularly disturbed, think about it now. That's a good movie you want to watch. You know what I mean? It's on Tubi. You're in your den.
Yeah.
You've got...
They're not wrong. He's not wrong.
Right, right.
There's
you
so
know?
Many different kill scenes in this. That
exactly. And especially...
One for everybody out there.
Exactly, exactly. We've got...
For all your tastes.
Sensitive ones, harsh ones, stabby
really
ones.
Really disturbing ones.
Fleshy ones. We got a woman. There's a part in my movie, I swear to God, I'm not making this... Oh, fucking it.
Don't drop it.
There's a part in this movie where a woman... cuts open a kid's, not a kid, but like a teenager, you know, it's a movie adult, and opens up his stomach and puts her hands in his stomach and rips out pulls out his intestines.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Right, Blake? That's all. Blake loves like, you know, the rap.
Are you squeamish, Blake?
It depends.
Yeah. But this is...
You've seen Debbie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he liked it.
I was there.
Yeah.
You can get squeamish, right?
Yeah. Blake had a fun time.
Yeah.
You know? So, okay. So from the gore and death scenes are great. There's just about every kind of death scene you could want, from stabbings to a decapitation. And did I mention the blood? My only criticism would be about some of the pacing. Okay, now here is where Jesse gets honest.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know what I mean? I love Jesse.
Respect, yeah.
You know, respect. Yeah. And I love him for being honest. And I have things to say about this, but it's his opinion, and his opinion is completely valid. And Jesse is also a filmmaker, you know, he knows his stuff. There are some slow moments. Now, before I begin with this, that was somewhat deliberate. Like with Tears of a Bloody Rose, the middle section, I wanted to slow down because the first one, I really pummeled the audience with gore. We really pummeled the audience with gore, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So how do you say queen in Spanish, by the way?
Reina.
Grina?
Reina.
Reina?
Yeah.
Reina.
Reina.
Reno?
No.
No? Isn't that masculine for queen, no?
But there's no female queen.
Oh, right. You're right.
There could be.
All right. Okay, well, you know. Okay. All right, okay.
It's okay.
All right. There are some slow moments. The first short, Gore Garage 6, starts the movie off strong with likable characters, quick cuts, and some of the goriest moments in the whole movie. However, the pace of the movie slows down dramatically with the second short, Tears from a Rose.
Tears of a Bloody Rose.
Sick. Spelling incorrect. Oh. It's still a good short. I like that, Jesse. I love you, Jesse. Thank you. Just slower and less energetic than the other two shorts. Mm-hmm. Now, that was by design. Like, it was like we wanted to...
Well, because every short, I guess, quote-unquote, in the movie is a different style of horror. So there are going to be... way different. You have the slasher, the teen slasher film, which is Gore Garage, the giallo film, which is deliberately more slow and art housey and just kind of like, it's a totally different vibe.
Yeah.
And then you have the found footage film, so it's a little bit more frenetic. And,
Which, by the way, do you remember after we shot Tears, which I think was the hardest one of them? Do you remember we went to sushi and we were all dead?
Yeah.
You, me, Chris, and Luke and stuff. Yeah. We were dead, man.
I had green muscles. I remember that.
Yeah. And I was giving you shit for the muscles. I was like, oh, are you vegan, really? And you're like, leave me alone.
I'm like, they don't have something.
It's still a good short, just slower and less energetic than the other shorts. Nevertheless, I love this movie. Gory, funny, bloody, all things I love in a horror comedy. If you like horror comedies with dark humor, then this is the movie to watch. Thank you, Jesse.
I mean, that's a really well-written review.
That's an awesome review.
Yeah,
I like that. And I like Jesse. I've always loved Jesse. He's a great guy.
No, I love I love hearing everybody's favorite films, even though he didn't really say, but it seems like his favorite was Gore Garage.
Yeah.
But, you know, we talked to other people. A lot of other people really liked Tears of a Bloody Rose better or the best.
That's the interesting thing about our movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, everybody has their favorite thing in
it. Okay, and I guess, you know, we talk about Debbie being like a horror candy. What was it? Horror candy?
Candy horror.
Candy horror?
Yeah.
Sorry. Same, like my same mom thing. Just saying everything backwards now.
Yeah.
Candy horror, which is like a genre that like you kind of coined, right? Yeah. And it kind of makes sense because, you know, you have a film that might be like chocolate, like peanut butter chocolate, and another film that might be like sour candy. So it's like some people just prefer chocolate and some people prefer sour candy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like it doesn't really make one better than the other. It's just like...
It's just what you prefer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just exactly. different tastes.
That's exactly how I see Debbie because, you know, everyone has their preferences. But
yeah. Then there's no...
And my favorite changes all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of Debbie?
Yeah.
Like, really?
I still don't know which one's my favorite.
I don't know. I've come to now accept it as just, it's weird now that the movie is done.
I think I used to say that Gorgorosh was my favorite, but I think, kind of like you, I know you mentioned that Flesh and Bone was kind of your favorite. I kind of agree.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Rick Darge, when he saw it, you know, filmmaker Rick Darge, Zen Dog he made, and he does a lot of stuff, filmmaker. He said that Flesh and Bone was his favorite. Mm. I think for me, it's because it's just the loosest one.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, we just felt like, with Tears, and I'm not saying this as a knock to Tears, but we were so precious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
About our camera moves, about this, that, everything. And then as we filmed more, I think we loosened up more.
Yeah.
And then filming Flesh and Bone on the phone gave us this great freedom where we could go outside, we could do a bunch of stuff, and it's funnier. It's, I don't know, I'm with you. I kind of like that one the best. Okay, so this one is a review from a guy that
What's up? Should April read it? You guys go back and forth.
You want to read it?
Sure.
Okay, this is from Stephen Milan, who is our first fan. Like somebody he contributed to our crowdfunding campaign. And then ever since then, he's been a strong, strong supporter. And then finally, he reviewed the film. And he, again, gave it an honest review. But let's see how it goes. Yeah.
Oh, no, I did read this one. Yeah. Okay. This crowdfunded indie horror anthology feature marks the debut of animator, actor, podcaster, short films filmmaker Nas Red as he mixes animated segments with live action segments as the animated segments have the devil, Red, at a movie theater with two kids whom he tells the film's three live-action segments to that each involves three incarnations of the devil's very own murderous angel known as Debbie. Okay, there's like no periods. Sorry. With story one having a group of unlikable sex-starved teen boys who fall victim to the first Debbie.
By the way, funny that he said unlikable and Jesse said they're likable. You know what I mean? Like it's like everybody has a different reaction.
Well, I think Patricia was probably the most... And Jean.
Right.
We're the more likable characters in Gorgorosh, but you know.
And all the other kids are scumbags. Right. Yeah.
They're definitely unlikable, the main boys, but still likable. I feel you. Okay, story two, having a female photographer encountering the second Debbie, and story three has a sociopathic teen gal, Melina Galibova, who gets initiated into joining the devil's group circle by Debbie number one. For a low-budgeted feature, Debbie and the Devil is a slickly polished film that is well acted by the cast and decently helmed by Red. For while the first two stories are good, the third story somewhat falters, even though Red has enough colorful personality as both an actor and as a filmmaker to keep this blood-drenched, with a little brief nudity thrown into delight the Gore Gazette.
Thanks, Stephen.
Wait, what does that mean? The Gore Gazette Joe Bob Briggs crowd.
Oh, yeah. Okay. If you remember, you know, Diana Prince works with Joe Bob Briggs.
Okay. Film active as a lively and watchable feature. Note, I was a crowdfunding contributor to this film. I love the honesty.
That's fair.
Nice.
That's fair.
And then,
So I got a few. Oh, wait, is that the same one? Oh, no, this is a shorter one.
But that's not an order. Okay.
No. This is okay. I'll leave the shorter one for afterwards. Cool. Okay, so that was Stephen Malone.
That was
a decent review. Yeah. This is my favorite one because this person discovered our film at 2 a.m. on a Saturday, likely stoned,
right?
You know, or drunk or something, you know. And this one I like, you know, because this person gets it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you take a gamble on low-budget trash and it pays off. Despite the crude animation and Z-grade aesthetic, this proves to be surprisingly entertaining with some performances that are way out of the film's league. I'll take that if you know, like...
Yeah, yeah.
With limited tools, director, writer, animator Nas Rudd calls a captivating energy and spirit that shows a lot of future potential. You can sense a demonic spark of greatness just looming out of fingers' reach. Now, do I have issue with that? That is kind of suggesting it's like out of our reach? No. Well, yeah, okay. But I'll still take it. I'll take it. I'm whorish. I love it. Okay. The real now is for our star, Melina. Mm-hmm. We actually sent her this, and she was very appreciative. So I'm going to read it. Yeah, yeah. And frame this in an NFT. So, okay. The real discovery here is Melina Galibova, who is way better than this material deserves. She plays the Debbie of the title, though that doesn't become clear right away. She's a dope-smoking virgin who pledges her allegiance to Satan in a thread that spins through two of the three horror shorts in this anthology, where each story is part of a much bigger puzzle. Now, in brackets, note, if judged solely on the merits of being free garbage discovered on Tubi at 2 in the morning, this is a 5-star experience. That it's watchable from start to finish is no small feat.
You're right.
Just go look at some of the turds available on some free streaming apps. I dare you to watch more than 5 minutes of any of them.
That's hilarious.
That's awesome. And I bet you there are people that I've known in my life that if they tried to make a movie, they made one of the movies that you couldn't get through 5 minutes of because they're losers. Anyway.
Okay, losers.
Okay, now this is another one.
That's a compliment, though. I will say, I mean, I know that he says that Melina Galibova is out of our league, which, great. But he's also saying that our film is a little bit above all of the other trash on the market.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, whatever.
And I will take that. I want to be the emperor of trash. You know what I mean? I'll take it.
That review is a... Don't know how to take it. Yeah. It's like,
no,
it's good, and it's like a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take it. Yeah. And then I'll bitch slap her.
Thank you, I guess.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
thank you.
Question mark?
Thank you, yeah, yeah. And by the way, the person that wrote that review was Paulington on Letterboxd. So thank you, Paulington.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're trash. It's like if I'm gonna like say I'm going out on the town and say I'm a lady, right? Some guy is like, hey, you're good. You're a good trashy lady. It's like, should I be like
thanks?
I'm trash. Like, yeah you
you're
know?
Good for some trash. For
right.
Trashy
for a pile of garbage. You're fucking great. You're good. you know, I'm like, okay. Know. So here's a short but sweet one, and then
that's where it starts.
Yeah, that's oh, okay. yeah.
Weird but respectable for the budget. I think they did a pretty great. I came for the animation implementation, and it was definitely interesting and cool. The final story was my favorite. Oh, that's flesh.
That's
and
flesh
bone.
And bones. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See.
See, Stephen Milan. You see, I love you, Mando. Sorry.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay. So now I leave the last review for the spirit of honesty. It's our worst review that we've ever gotten, but at the same time, I got to pull it up on Letterboxd because I didn't want to waste our paper on this.
Is it long?
No, it's really short. And in fact, I told you about this review, and for maybe because I didn't get. This man's superior humor,
right?
Or this person's superior humor, but we're gonna get into it a little bit, okay? Let me just pull up the reviews on Letterboxd. Okay, this cunt. Okay.
Oh, he's right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. 1 star. This is from some fuckface named Jacob Hassa LB. I have no idea who the fuck you are.
Who the fuck are you?
Yeah, who are you, you prick?
Nobody asked you.
Nobody wants you. You're an orphan. You get it? If your parents abandoned you, I get them. You know what I mean? You don't deserve parents. You don't even deserve a mother and father. That's how low I think of you in the realm of the art food chain, in the realm of the show business food chain, in the realm of the cinema food chain. You are below
the
microbes.
Bear horn.
Huh? You're fleas on rats. You're worse than that.
You're worse.
You're amoebas on fleas on rats.
You're not even the amoeba. You're a little bitch. You're nothing. You're nothing. Okay, so this cunt goes and writes. He gives me a 2 out of 10.
I thought it was a 1.
Right, 1 star, and then he puts 2 out of 10 just to be a prick at the end of the review because he's a prick. Because he's a prick because he has no girlfriend. Because he has no girlfriend because nobody wants to fuck him.
Hashtag incel vibes.
Nobody wants to fuck you, Jacob. No one. Keep writing your loser reviews, Jacob. It won't get you anything. Okay. I didn't get this review at first because his superior humor just flew right over my head. But then I realized what he's implying. He's implying that I'm still in high school.
Weird. Okay.
Fuck you. Okay. Yeah. I'm still in high school. Fuck you. Okay. And my movie is probably better than anything you've ever come up with, you cunt. Okay. I remember when I was edgy in high school and way too into Neil Gaiman's books. I hope you get through it, dude. I'm rooting for you. Listen to me, you stupid prick. I like Neil Gaiman, okay? I'm not too familiar with his shit. Maybe because you watch Lucifer every Friday jerking off because you're
Wait,
a loser.
Neil Gaiman?
Yeah.
Like Coraline Neil
Yeah. Gaiman? Like, basically, this idiot, I know now where he got that from. Yeah. Because of that show Lucifer, that's based on a Neil Gaiman thing, right? Because Lucifer was a character in Sandman, and I think that's an offshoot of that or something.
Oh.
This fucking dork loser who was spending all of his high school reading Neil Gaiman, which no disrespect to that, but fuck you. I mean, the thing is, this is the thing that irritates me about this review.
Yeah.
If this was just a rando idiot, I would think nothing of it. This idiot had a movie playing at the same film festival that Debbie was playing.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I really want to find out what it is, you prick. I'm going to have one of our people start a Letterboxd account and comment on this review and ask you what your movie was so I can review it on my show. Be a fucking man, you asshole. Don't ever talk about my movie like that. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Do you hear me?
Can't you just look him up on the internet?
Well, I can, but the thing is, he has an alias because he's a coward.
This person who has a movie doesn't even have his own movie on his own letterbox.
Yeah. What the fuck? I mean, do you have any control over how much of a loser you allow yourself to be? First, you're jerking off to Lucifer. Then you're jerking off to me. Then you're jerking off to nobody. Then you have no girlfriend. Then your parents leave you. We've already established that you're an orphan. We've already established that I hope many diseases come to your eyeballs so you never watch a movie. You don't deserve cinema. Get out of my cinema. Get out. Get out. Get out, devil. Get out of here. Go. Go. Seriously, I hate people that complain about cinema and they complain about the state of movies. Go! Nobody's asking you to stay here. Nobody's asking you to go see the second millionth Marvel movie.
This guy's fucking tripping, though. I mean, for a movie to be 1 star or even 2 out of 10 stars, like, it has to be complete trash.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but, like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And
I'm not even just saying that because I produced it. It's just ridiculous. Like, this person has, like, a vendetta, is jealous or something.
Jealousy. Jealousy.
Maybe jealousy. It's one of our enemies.
Listen, motherfucker.
Maybe it's secretly one of our enemies. Oh, wait, no, but you said that you know who this person is, and you know for a fact that they had their...
I know that they had something playing at the film festival. I don't know what it is.
How do you know?
I have to investigate further.
Can't you look at nominees that were at the film festival?
Well, the thing is, there was a lot.
Actually watch everything?
There was a lot. There was a lot. It's just...
No.
I'm looking at his favorites, and it's all the fucking movies that, like, fucking, like, they're good movies. Like, they're, like, good, edgy movies that everybody likes. Like, you know, like, Eraserhead.
But he's hating on you that...
But he's hating on me. Yeah, I'm a fucking artist, you dumb prick. I want to find out what your movie is so I can watch it and goof on it. Tell me now.
We'll find
now.
It. Don't worry.
You prick.
You know who's really good at investigating?
Who?
Ashley.
Yeah, we're going to have Ashley on this.
Yeah.
She's going to smoke you out.
She'll find you.
You dumb prick, Jacob.
A private
prick.
Investigator.
Jacob the jackoff. Jacob the idiot. That would be so funny if, like, I wake up in the morning and then I open up the paper and then, like, we had reviewed his film. We call it shit because it's shit. He's shit, you know. And then, like, I open up the paper and it says, like, you know, loser filmmaker jumps off bridge because podcaster gave bad review.
Oh, God.
And then they quote the parents and there's... The parents' quote is like, "We always thought he was a loser. That's why we left."
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? Oh, I hate you, Jacob. I hate you for doing
Watch
that. Because
out.
The thing is, I would never, April, I'm being honest. Like, I'm hurt because I would never knock a fellow contemporary that's playing in the same film festival as us. That's so stupid.
Yeah.
That shows
obviously on the same boat here, you know?
Yeah.
Are idiot.
Yeah.
Who knows? But
yeah. We are in the...
Like, it's okay to knock someone like Wes Anderson. Like, Nas went on his little rant.
And I apologize. And I'm sorry, Wes.
And, you know, I like Wes Anderson.
I do, too.
But, like, okay, there's a difference between knocking somebody who's acclaimed or making their money. Their movies are in theaters. Fine. But when it's, like, contemporary...
Hello, hello. Oh. Okay, yeah, we're good. We're okay. Back. Okay. So,
there's some technical difficulties.
Yes, we're back from this break. We're back. Thank you for the, we ran a Debbie Blu-ray commercial, you know? Hey.
Oh, right.
That's the thing. I'm back after these words. So April, that's it. I think I would like someone to find out what this idiot's film is.
I got my team on it. Don't
worry. Yeah, we're on it. We're on it. I'm thinking of having someone comment on his review.
Okay.
So we can say, hey, asshole, we're coming for you.
Sounds good.
Because I really want to know what piece of shit he made so I can make fun of it. You know what I mean?
What if you like it, though?
I will be honest, because I'm not a cunt like him.
No, we'll never admit it.
No, you're right. I'm petty. I'm not going to admit it. It probably sucks.
I'd be like,
probably sucks.
This is garbage.
Yeah. You suck. You fucking suck. You are the reason Russia and Ukraine are in war.
Damn.
You know?
But enough shit talking.
Yeah. But that's it. So you know what?
There are people in the world that like our movie.
Yes, clearly. Yes, clearly. In India.
Some good reviews.
In Ukraine.
I don't know about Ukraine.
Yeah, but other places and shit. You
popping
know?
Off in India, though.
It's popping off in India. We have our fans in India.
Thank
I love
you, everybody
it.
Who's watched.
That would be funny if we were like, we have our fans in India, and then it turns out what we were playing, she's saying, this movie sucks.
You're right, honestly. Yeah. You know what? If somebody can please translate, I'd really appreciate it.
Any Indian folks
But if you think
there.
About it, like, that video does have a fair amount of views, so I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, how many views does it have?
12,000.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It got like 7,000 in like its first day or something.
Okay, I'm really curious what they're saying.
There is a relative was saying there's like a Google Translate shit or something.
It's probably an app.
Yeah, that we could run it through and stuff. Right. But yeah, cool. Bing, bang, boom. What a day. Okay, this has been our technically Thursday, Friday kind of thing. And you can follow me on Twitter at Mr. Nosred. Follow me on Instagram at Mr.Nosred. Email me at nosred@wild7studios.com. Check out Debbie and the Devil on Tubi. Check out Amigas and Diaspora and all of our other content on YouTube. Stay tuned for Skrilla, which is coming soon, part of the Wait universe, which is a crime epic thing that we are cooking here by care of Silent Chris, super genius, resident scholar. And April, would you like to sign off?
Yes. You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at April Directs. And then you can email me at wild7studios.com. And support your favorite indie studio, Wild 7 Studios. Buy a Killer Comanche comic book on Kindle. Issue 1 is also a physical copy. We have some merch for sale. So don't forget about us. And if you like our movie, leave a review. Leave a nice one.
Nice.
But an honest one.
Yes. Nice and honest. That's how we roll here.
Yeah.
Blake?
I'm cool.
All right, Blake.
Famous Blake's being too cool.
Famous Blake. Too cool.
Too cool
for school.
Too cool.
Famous Blake is too cool.
He's like embarrassed of us. He's like.
We're like the uncles and aunts and parents.
I'm not really on social media.
What?
Like. Right now.
He's been chilling out.
Take a little break.
Yeah.
Like Selena Gomez.
Yeah.
Oof, did you hear the drama?
With Kylie Jenner and Selena Gomez?
And Hailey Bieber.
I asked Ashley about
that. Why is it even drop? Like, that motherfucker's married now. Like,
I know. But he's
leave
not.
Him alone. Wait, what happened? What happened? What happened? What happened?
Long story short, Hailey Bieber used to stalk just Justin Bieber when Selena and Justin were together. And she was like a stan. She was a Jelena stan, right? Because they're like a popular couple at the time.
Oh.
And then over the years, she just kept on kind of stalking. And she was obsessed with Selena. She would copy her. And then somehow she got introduced to Justin. They got married. And then now she wants to be like Selena. She copies everything that she does. Like, she copied her like tattoo. She had the same tattoo as her. She got the same, like, when Justin proposed to Selena. And this is like hot gossip. But this is going to be old news by the time we drop this. But. Justin Bieber gave Selena this ring that had a J on it.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a diamond J. And I guess Hailey got a tattoo on her ring finger that has a J and a little diamond on it. She's obsessed.
Oh.
And it's pretty much like Selena started a cooking show, then Hailey started a cooking show, and she just dresses like her. She copied her makeup brand and everything. Like, when Selena started a makeup brand, Hailey started a makeup brand. It is so weird. And I never knew this, but fucking psychos out here. And they're just,
Wild
they're
7.
All, they're all haters and stuff. It's weird.
It needs to be announced right here, okay? Whose side are we on? We are on Selena Gomez's side.
Yes, because she's like a prima.
Yes.
Cousin.
She's a fresa, as they say, right?
Yeah, sure.
As you guys are, right? Fresas.
Well, no one likes to claim to be a fresa.
Oh, really? Yeah. I'm a fresa. Nazalina is a fresa. Hold on. I want to try something. Yeah. I want to try something. Fuck it, we're here. If something comes of it, I'm going to send it to
Are you
Emmanuel.
Calling?
No. I went on TikTok. Never mind. I was going to go on Snapchat and turn myself into Nazalina and just talk as Nazalina and see what happens. But then I'm like, I'm uncomfortable with that. I don't want to. I don't want to. Not now. Not ready for such. Yeah, not yet. But cool. All right. That's Woo. It. Hey, Wild 7 is on Selena Gomez's side. Yes. Hailey Bieber, you calm down. Chill
Leave
out.
Leave her alone.
Stop trying to be her.
You get a life.
Yeah, I used to know a guy that wanted to try and be me. He tried, he failed, he died. It's good. I love it. Boom. Please take a moment and hit those like and subscribe buttons. While a small gesture, it really means a lot to Wild 7 Studios and allows us to continue creating meaningful and fun content for your viewing pleasure.